It's been 7 weeks since Easter, and here we are at the day of Pentecost, which is often referred to as the birthday of the church. You know how sometimes on your birthday, your mom will insist on telling you stories about when she was pregnant with you and how you were born? Well, I want to go back and remind us of the story about how the disciples got to be where they were on that pivotal day we just heard about in Acts. The disciples were mostly working-class folks who were just doing their everyday thing when they met Jesus. And they sensed in him somebody who was different. He seemed somehow more connected. He understood things in a way that they did not. And they were so intrigued that they left their various occupations to hang out with him. For 3 years, they accompanied him, sometimes getting flashes of insight, sometimes completely bewildered, sometimes amazed as he performed miracles, always proud to be associated so closely with someone who often drew large crowds. Kind of a first century, I'm with the band. They had this idea, especially when he started saying things like, the kingdom of God is at hand, that eventually their movement would gain momentum, and one day Jesus would miraculously overthrow the Roman occupation and restore the Jewish homeland and the Jewish faith to its former glory. When they got to Jerusalem, Jesus made a triumphal entry with festive crowds cheering him on, and the disciples were hopeful. Maybe this was the beginning of the popular uprising. And then, rather suddenly, things began to go downhill. Less than a week after their arrival in Jerusalem, Jesus was arrested. And after an all-night trial, condemned to death. The next day, he was summarily executed, and most of the disciples scattered in fear, their hopes dashed. Can you imagine the shock and the grief? And then, when they had hardly even had time to process the idea that he was gone, something completely unexpected happened. He showed up again, risen from the dead. They didn't really understand exactly what happened, but boy, were they relieved. For 5 weeks, he continued to drop in on them, eating meals with them, giving them instructions, praying with and for them. And they were most likely thinking to themselves, oh, good, now things will go back to being the way they were. Maybe we're not welcome in Jerusalem right now, but we can go back to traveling around the countryside with Jesus as he teaches and preaches and heals. And then one day, Jesus led a group of them up into the hills, gave them some final instructions, and disappeared before their very eyes into a cloud. I can just picture them looking around at each other in bewilderment. What just happened? What do we do now? What did he say we were supposed to do? Go to Jerusalem and wait. What are we waiting for? I don't know, but that's what he said, so I guess we'll know it when it happens. So they all trooped down the hill and went back to Jerusalem. And they waited. And they waited. Days went by. Days filled with a strange mixture of expectation and joy, combined with uncertainty and fear. Within the house where they stayed, they discussed everything they remembered and wondered what would happen next. Outside, they kept a low profile for fear of the authorities. And still, they waited. A week, 8, 9 days. How long are we supposed to wait? Do you imagine that they were starting to lose heart and maybe to get on each other's nerves? Then suddenly one day was different. As they were all gathered together upstairs in the morning, there was a tremendous noise as if a sudden high wind was somehow blowing inside the house. And they saw flames of fire, not burning anything in the house, but resting on each person there. And with those flames came a dawning understanding, as if what the fire burned away was all their doubt and fear and confusion. Now they knew that they were not abandoned after all. The Lord, who they could no longer see, was with them in an even more intimate way. Now they understood what he had meant when he said, "You will dwell in me and I will dwell in you." Now they understood what he had meant when he proclaimed, "The kingdom of God is at hand." And what did they do? Did they stay together in their upper room, exclaiming to each other about how cool that was and congratulating themselves on their spiritual insight? No. They were so fired up, pardon the pun, that they immediately went out and started telling everybody. In fact, they found themselves able to communicate something about what they knew of God's power in language that each person they met could understand. So here we are at the birthday of the church. Not church as an institution, that didn't exist yet, but church as people. That church is us. This is my birthday. This is your birthday. But don't be fooled by the balloons. The party is not in here. The party starts when we step out the door. And we're not very likely to meet any Parthians or Cappadocians when we leave here. Most of us probably won't even meet any French or German speakers as we go through our week. But we will all meet some folks that we can speak to about the power of God in a language that they understand. Most likely, this won't be the language of religion. There are a lot of people out there that can't hear you if you speak in prayer bookese. But maybe you speak the language of science, or the language of baseball, or the language of parenthood, or the language of medicine, or golf, or gardening, or cooking. Maybe you're retired and you're able to take the time to visit with a neighbor and listen to what is going on in their life. So maybe that language isn't even verbal. You know the old saying, actions speak louder than words. And St. Francis is credited with saying, "Preach always. If necessary, use words." Whatever you know of God from your own experience, you are called to share that with people you meet, each in their own language. It's tempting to make excuses to get out of this calling. "I don't know what to say. I haven't been to seminary." We're not so different from the disciples. They had always relied on Jesus to have all the answers, and they were kind of riding on his coattails. We like to delegate our spirituality to people who wear collars. But the church was born Not inside the upper room with the sound of a mighty rushing wind. That was just the labor pains. The church was born when the disciples, filled with a new understanding of how God was with them, stepped out on the balcony, no longer filled with fear. And this is all of us. You heard it in the lesson that where Peter was quoting from Joel, that this is the young, and this is the old, this is the men, and this is the women, this is the bosses, and this is the employees. This is all of us. And if you feel a little timid, afraid to show the world how God is at work in your life, remember these names that Jesus used for the Holy Spirit, which translate into English as Comforter, which comes from the Latin roots confortis, to give strength, and the Advocate, also from Latin, the one that you call to your aid. So happy birthday, everybody. To celebrate, we can do as the priest will exhort us at the end of the service and go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit and speaking of that power to the people we meet, each in their own language. Amen.